After the Shmaya last time, what we had left off with was a fascinating discussion with the Chevra about the question of Eim Avatlanis L'chatchila, when a Hashgacha is giving its approval to a company when it informs the company that they would need to have more heter in order for them to give the Hashgacha. So we have a schus that Rav Leibowitz is here, so he sometimes goes to the OU on Friday mornings with Rav Schechter. So I asked him a little bit, we were talking about in theory what the OU does. It's nice to know practically what the OU does. So he said that in the OU will not touch any case of bittel, period. In other words, if there's any non-kosher, as some of you predicted, if there's any non-kosher ingredient, that's it. So our theoretical tzior that we had suggested with Nabisco just doesn't happen. He said the one exception is in regards to fish, that Rav Schechter said on fish, if you have bittel of shishim, where there is a machlokas haposkim, whether you could have bittel when it comes to fish, to hainu, let's say putting down that the product has a fish product and thereby being an issue of sakana. So that Rav Schechter said that you don't have to start writing OUF. That he rely on bittel. But aside from that, there's no issue. Or for that matter, if you have milchiks with fish, if you have a milk product that has a tiny bit of fish inside. So that would be the exception, but everything else, the shiloh doesn't come up. But in the world of theory, so the Talmidim are pointing out that lav davka, would you see from Rav Moshe Feinstein, a disagreement with the Badei HaShulchan, that we saw that the Badei HaShulchan last week was of the opinion that once you're giving a hashkacha, it's as if they're doing it. So Rav Leibowitz said to me, Bizal Lashon, that the OU looks at every single thing that they give a hashkacha on as if they themselves were doing the cooking. So that would be like the Badei HaShulchan's mahalach. He said that's in general the OU's mahalach. I'm just not convinced, even though the Talmidim HaYikarim were correct in theory and Rav Moshe is true, that Rav Moshe is not mefurish against the Badei HaShulchan. I'm just not convinced that that's necessarily halach lemaisa for everyone. In other words, OU policy is one thing. The question is what would the Taz and the Rivash really say about those topics? So first of all, I forgot to mention to you, it's on both cover pages, last week's and this week's, that Rav Nevensal told me that he thought you could be Mekel. Rav Nevensal's position, as I understand it, is that at the end of the day, it's the company that makes the decision to do the bittel. It's not that the Hashgacha instructed them to do it on their behalf. They told them, you have to make a business decision. If you want an OU, then you add the more kosher products to be mevatel, or if you want, it's your business decision. You have many things to weigh. The OU costs a lot of money. Hashgacha costs a lot of money. Is it worth it for you? Is it worth it to add those products? So ultimately, my understanding is that Rav Nevensal said it comes down, the company makes that decision. It's not that the Mashgiach does this. That's the Kach Shamati Mimari V'Rabi. Finally, this is for Rabbi Yamin. I did find another tshuva of Rav Moshe, Chelik Beis, Simen Mem Aleph, where it seems clear to me that Rav Moshe is saying that anytime a goy is doing it, even if in the case of a hashkacha, he's dealing directly where a hashkacha is being given. In contrast, Rabbi Yamin had argued maybe he was talking about a case of where in the other tshuva where hashkacha wasn't necessarily being given. This is a case in Chelik Beisim and Mem Aleph, he's talking about where hashkacha is given. And it seems to me, I would like you to look at the tshuva, Lahagdil Toru Ladira. It seems to me over there, Rav Moshe says that whatever a guy does, there's no reason to put a knas because the guy is not doing an isser, and therefore there's not going to be a problem if the guy is doing it, even in a case of a hashkacha. So it seemed to me, like I had speculated last time, that Rav Moshe would be of the opinion that, like Rav Nevensal, it seems to me from this, I accept your dechia from that tshuva, but it seems to me from that other tshuva might be more mefurish.
Even if the hashgacha tells him to be mevatel.
That's what it sounds like. This tshuva, it sounds like even then. It's not mefurish, but take a look. Yeah.
And the OU is machmir.
Is machmir for the Badei HaShulchan's position.
Even if we don't even
correct.
Tell him.
Correct. That was from, again, now I'm being medayik. And Rav Leibowitz is a superstar, but I don't know if we, you know, we have to be medayik in every word of Leibowitz, but that was his, that was his lashon. His lashon was that the OU views it as if they're the ones who are doing all the maisim in the hashgacha itself. Exactly how far does that lashon go? You have a few more minutes to chappen before he goes back to America to ask him. I'm sure he would enjoy it. He's been sitting around and schmoozing with guys. I'm sure he would love to talk in halacha. Yeah,
go ahead. That sounds like they're more machmir than Bar Yosef.
What's that?
It sounds like they're more machmir than Bar Yosef.
Yeah, yeah. If you again, it depends on, you know, he has to write it in his next sefer for us to come to that Lamaisa conclusion. Yes, Eitan.
So Nemtzel would say that it would be better for Hashkacha to require a composition of after the Constitution.
I think so. My understanding of it, the one time I discussed with him, what I didn't do is refine it in all of the tziurim that you said. I presented to him the Badei HaShulchan, and I presented him the other side, and he suggested that he thought that the more lenient side makes sense, and that you didn't have to be machmer like the Badei HaShulchan. That was the context of the discussion.
And the tshuva of Moshe about the Yayin Nesech and the wine, that it was batel b'shishim, which he said was okay.
Well, it's batel, by the way. Yayin Nesech is a different bittel, but yeah, okay.
He thought, Moshe thought that it was okay, so the OU would not do hashgacha to that because they had
that, right. But what Binyamin pointed out was that that tshuva was not necessarily talking about giving a hashgacha on it.
Saying,
in theory.
Still wouldn't give a hashgacha.
Correct. Correct. That's correct. Correct. Okay, another couple of points before we move on. One last thing that we didn't discuss, and 4:30 hit, and then we turn into a pumpkin. So, Rabbi Kiva Eger in Sifkatan Gimel tells us that the chumrah of Eim Avatlanis Lechatchila goes further than you and I might have expected. Sifkatan Gimel in Rabbi Kiva Eger, we have to look back a little bit from where we've been up until now. Rabbi Kiva Eger says that v'im bishel acharkach, if you cook, you are mevatel iser lechatchila. In other words, you did something inappropriate, and then you cooked hamaychol gam hakdera asura. Then the pot is going to also be asur. So this is an interesting halacha. Then once a person violates im mevatel nis lechatchila, then that could asur the pot itself. Now there's a corollary to this halacha which appears in your old booklet and that I photocopied for you, and that's from the Mishnah Berurah and Simin Shin Yud Ches. Sifkat and Dalit, that the Tshuvas HaRashba says the same thing in regards to Shabbos. He says that if a person did malach on Shabbos, so we know that the food is going to be usser. There are many details about instances where he did it b'shogeg or b'mezid. Let's take the extreme case when he did it b'mezid, so then the food is going to be usser. Then that food will also usser the pot. It'll make the pot quote-unquote trif. You won't be able to use that pot. The blios of that pot become usher. So that is that's what the Rajba writes in his Tshuvas. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes that as well. So Rabbi Kiva Eger seems to have a Tshuvas HaRajba on his side. I think I photocopied that for you as well. It's in the back of your old booklet, that if a person did it b'mezid, so then in such a case the keder is going to be usher. So Rabbi Kiva Eger holds the keder will be usher. There is a minority dissenting view amongst the poskim, but that is not the accepted view. The accepted view is to be machmir, that if you were mevatel isur lechatchila and then you cooked, so then in such a case the keder is going to become usher. Not only is the food usher, but it makes the keder usher. I might have thought not that way. There's actually a Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Lamed that seems to say that the Kedera is not going to be Asur. When we're making a Gzeira Atu, it's a Knas, so then the food is going to be Asur. But to go so far as to say that the Kedera is Asur, there's actually a Gemara that's not necessarily Mashma that way, but Kach HaLacha, according to Rabbi Kiva Eger. Okay, so that, what's that?
If someone does an amazing, is he going to call the Rav and say, I did an amazing? He's not following halacha.
Right. Well, the classic case would be that someone did it b'mezid where they did it for you. In other words, you didn't do it b'mezid, but now it's usher for you. So then what's going to be usher is also the kedera for you as well. Correct. Although what Veitam is pointing out, just to remind us that in Bishogeg is going to be mutter, that this halacha is going to only be b'mezid. The siyata d'shmaya, where we're up to, Jake, okay?
Yes.
What we're up to is Sif Vav in the Ramah. Very interesting Rama, a few different shitas coming back to classic Yesodos of Bittel, and then we'll get back to many practical halacha l'maisa instances. The Rama continues where we left off. We left off by the gra tezvav, iser shenispatel. Everybody have that? Iser shenispatel? One third through the Rama in Sadi tezvav. He says, iser shenispatel. If you have an iser that had become nullified, kigon shay yishishim kenegdom, that there was shishim against it, v'nitosif ba'achakach mino iser arishon. So this is the inverse of simin sadi tes. We now have the opposite direction, and that is instead of adding heter, you add iser. So this is the famous rule of chozer v'ner. Chozer v'ner, you could have bittel, in other words, you had 60 times the iser, but then you added a more iser, so then the iser is awakened. Chozer v'ner returns and awakes. V'nesar, and loshna min b'mino, loshna min b'she'en amino, loshna yavesh v'loshna lach. In all these instances, it's reawakened. So here, this is the psak of the Ramah. There are two classic poskim that chip away at the Ramah in different ways. And that is the Shach and the Gra. The Shach does it with his lamdus, and the Gra does it with his derech ha-psak. The Shach in Sifkatan Chaf Aleph says that he understands that you would say Chozer V'Neir in regards to a case of Tam. In other words, you have Chelev that was dissolved into water, and if there's 60 times the word to the chelev, you're not going to taste the chelev. But if you add more chelev in, so then chozer v'neir, it's going to rejoin, the tam chelev is going to rejoin with the chelev that was already inside. It's going to wake up the yisr, it's going to wake up the other thing that was inside. Then says the shach that he understands that. Let's take a look and see that in the shach. Chaf aleph. Avol be'emes, one line, in mashma de lo kasa shamarai, da filu no de betayim asur, ela yisr sheno sein tam. He says it only makes sense on Isur Shinas and Tam. The Kasa Sham Varavya Osra Filu Yada, Yera the Misvar Sashiri, Kamala Svargdolu, the Kim the Srava Isare Hukar Humagishina Tam. Avol, here's the punchline in the Shach. Yavesh bi Yavesh, Bimin Bimino Shinspata Barov. If you had a bittel, if you had two pieces of kosher and one piece of not kosher, and then Kishinoda, you knew about it, so the Rav Paskin that you could eat the Taruvas. We have machlokas where you can eat all at once and so on and so forth, but everything is mutter, however you define what it means, everything is mutter. But it's all mutter. Kishinoda, sulo mitzdarif lesar. It doesn't join together to aser. And that is the machlokas between the Shach and the Ramah. The Ramah says you could, whenever you tip the scales of adding iser, it's chozer v'neir, and the iser is reawakened. And the Shach is mechalek between lach Belach or lach biyavesh and yavesh biyavesh. Because when we're talking about yavesh biyavesh, he says once you have a psak that you view the iser as heter, so then, take our case, you have two pieces of heter, one of iser, so then if you throw in another of iser, it's still going to be batel. Why? Because now you have three against one. The second one was once upon aser. It was batel through the bittel of yavesh biyavesh. That's what the Shach writes. So at Rav Binyamin, there's a bit of history for me. At Rav Binyamin Kamenetsky's wedding, I was sitting next to Rav Miller Shlita. It was a very special wedding for Rav Miller because the two very chashuv parents were both Talmidim of the Grus Kol. Rav Marcus and Rav Kamenetsky were both Talmidim of the Grus Kol. So Rav Miller was an aide by the Kiddushin. So I got lucky. I was sitting next to him at the Chasana. So this is what we were up to. At the night of Rabbi Yamin's wedding. So I asked Rabbi Miller if he thought that this is the Shach and the Ramah l'shitaso, and he accepted it. That this would be the Shach and the Ramah l'shitaso. The Ainu, that the Shach holds that you go basar tam. We saw that the Shach says tam, tam, tam is koveya. We saw that he said that that's how you define min bimino, min b'she'eno mino, and we saw other nafkaminos within the Shach. So Shach holds that you go basar taima. And the Shach said that by Truma, you'll never have a case by Mimbisha Eino Mino that you would have to be Machmer to go after Mea. If you have Mimbisha Eino Mino, you always go after Tam. We saw that there are Rishonim that disagree, but that's the Shita of the Shach. So therefore, the Shach says that the din of Chozer V'Neir, if it was brought down by Lach B'Yavesh, would only make sense to, when we're talking about Lach B'Yavesh or Lach B'Lach. But when it comes to Yavesh B'Yavesh, Mehechi Tesi, the whole din, the Yavesh B'Yavesh and Lach B'Yavish are totally different worlds. So just because a Rishon said that you're going to say that you go, that you say Chozer and Er by Tam, who says he's going to say the same thing by Yavish B'Yavish? But the Ramah makes much less of a deal of Tam. The Ramah says that you go Basar Shema when defining Mim Mimino, Mim Mishaino Mino. The Ramah himself at times ignores the Tam. So it could be that that the Ramah is going to say no, that Tam is not going to is not the critical factor in this Tshuvas Ma'arai. And if the halacha is that way by Tam, it would be the same halacha by Yavesh B'Yavesh. So how central Tam is going to be in terms of defining the Dinei Taruvas, L'chura would be the Ramah and the Shach L'shitas. So that was something that might be Amita Shel Torah. Might be Amita Shel Torah. So the Be'er Agra chips away at the Ramah in a different way. The Be'er Agra in Sivkatan Tezvav, and it's summarized very, very beautifully by the Badei Shulchan, but I'll extrapolate first the gra. This is a humongous gra. Again, our theory that as the harder the sugya gets, the gra gets longer and longer. So the gra in Sivkatan Tezvav, about I would say halfway through, begins. None of you are using my Shulchan Aruchs, but I would say it's halfway through Sivkatan Tezvav. He says V'klal ha'inyan. V'klal ha'inyan. Ki bidoraisa min chozer v'ner. Afil b'yidia b'shari sura. The Gra says that this idea of chozer v'ner applies when we're talking about dinei doraisa. So therefore he says, skipping down a couple lines in the Gra, v'chein yavesh b'yavesh v'chein lach b'lach min b'shein omino, ad shishin tam kikra doraisa. So the Gra says, whenever you're dealing with shilas of doraisa, then you're going to say chozer v'ner. Al b'shishim shehu d'rabbanan, Eina chozer v'ner. But what happens if you have a din d'rabbanan shishim? Nu rabosai? What would be an example of that be? Min b'mino. If you have min b'mino, you require shishim. So let's say you had shishim of keneged iser, and the Rav said it's mutter. Then you come back to the Rav and you say, but now there was more added in the min b'mino. So here, the halacha could be that you could be mekel. Why? Because there's only a d'rabbanan. So the gra does what we would call a classic split in psak. There are different shitos, etc. So the Gra's mechalik between Doraisa and Darabanan. By Doraisa, he says, we say Chozer and Er. By Darabanans, we don't. This is a difficult Gra, so let's just see it summarized by the Badei HaShulchan. Badei HaShulchan in Sifkatan Ayin Aleph says, Amnam, about halfway through Sifkatan Ayin Aleph, Gra's on the first word on the line. Amnam Apri Chadosh Vahagra Lahakal Bazeh. The kol shamaduber hu b'shir bittel derabanan v'gam noda b'nasayim. If there was a yedia b'nasayim, lo amin chazav v'ner shechacham hikilu b'kach dehem amru v'hem amru. So to summarize, we have three different shitas. The Ramah is always saying chazav v'ner. The Shach, who's mechalik between Tam and Yavesh b'Yavesh, and the Gra, who's mechalik between Doraisas and derabanans. Ad kan. The sugi of Chozer and Er, there's a lot more to do in terms of lamdas going through the different rayas back and forth, but for our purposes, b'siyata d'shmaya, that's enough. There is a dramatic mechaber that we're going to continue with. This is the most wild mechaber in all of Hilchos Issur V'Heter is what we're about to learn. It's logical, but it's wild. Let's take a look at this Gishmak and mechaber. Now, the Beis Yosef quotes the name of Tshuvas Rivash, but most of the world knows it from the Rashba in the Torah Habayis. It's Mefurish in the Rashba in the Torah Habayis as well, even though for some reason the Beis Yosef quotes it from a Tshuvas Rivash. Says the Mechaber, Im nivla iser muat, l'toch kli kasher. So you have a small amount of treif that fell into a kosher utensil. But the utensil is large. So you have a large utensil. Let's say what happened was that there was chalev that spilled on the spout of this kli kosher. So then, imdarkai shaloise kli. Look at this, amazing. If the derech is to use this kli, lishtamish bo b'shefa heter, mutter lishtamish bo l'chatchila, kiman she'isr muat, v'yev shalov v'ylidei nesina stam. Isn't it amazing? So you could have something that's a kli that's treif lemahadrin, but if you always use that kli for much more of heter than of iser. By the way, this happens all the time because many of our shilas are just like, there was a drop that fell over here, a drop that fell over here. So as long as you use that kli, birov b'shefa of heter, then it'll always be mevatel iser, and you're not going to have a problem. Why is the Rajba being mentioned over here? Because it's talking about ein mevatel nisil chatchila. So I might have thought that this is called ein mevatel nisil chatchila, kamash malon. We'll explain in a moment why that it's not. Kivan she'isim muad, v'yefshar lava l'day nesinas tam, and therefore it's going to be mutter. And by the way, this is stimas ha-psak. This is Shulchan Aruch closes Simin Tzadites with this psak. So technically, you should know on the books in Shulchan Aruch, you could have a small amount of iser that is absorbed into a pot. The Rajba, the Rivash, the Kach Nifsak b'Shulchan Aruch, and amazingly, there isn't even a Hagah from the Ramah over here that you're allowed to use such a kli. You've never heard of this because the later Achronim closed the door on it. But this is Mefurish in Shulchan Aruch this way. Ulaficha continues the Mechaber. Iser Mashu Shnivla B'Kdero B'Tol Kankan Ki Yotzvem Mutl Shtamish Bo Lechat Chila Vafilu Ben Yoimai Lefishi Yevsha Lov El Adim Nesim Estam Avol Nivla B'Kli Shadarka Lishtamish Lehitim B'Dover Muad. It has to be those type of utensils that you always use for a lot. But if sometimes you use it for a little, then it's going to be Aser. Then because you're going to come to absorb the iser. Also, shtamish afil b'shefa gzeir shem shtamish bal davar muat v'yavoy lidei nesinas tam halacha lemaisa. And I'll take your question shortly, Shua. I just want to point out that the Chochmas Adam, also on the other side of the Badei Shulchan, in the supplemental page, closes the door on this heter, and Kim Dumani that the minig ha'olam amongst Ashkenazim is to follow the Chumrah of the Chochmas Adam. I did not see what the Sephardic custom is. So if someone finds what the Sephardic custom is, I'd be interested in hearing. But in the Chochmas Adam, which both Rav Braunschweigel and Rav Nevenzahl tell me always to look up for Psak Achron, so he says as follows, Im nivla iser mu'at otol kli kosher, im darker shalos kli l'shtamish bo b'shefa, im mutol shtamish l'chatchila, v'en kamishum eim evat nusil chatchila, Kivan she iser muat vi efshar lava l'dein nesinas tam. Avol nivla b'kli she darka l'shtamish l'itim dar muk kar o kiyotz v'asol l'shtamish fi l'shefa mamish the words of the Mechaber. He says, v'chol l'achronim cholku al zeh, and all of the achronim disagree. M'kol makom b'davar shu pogem l'kule alma mutter. So we have actually, even in the Chachmas Adam closing the door on this heter, he does live one crack in the window open. It's actually a pretty big crack. The Chachmas Adam says that the minig is to be machmir. I guess he's saying that the Achronim are afraid that there would still be a kilkul. Maybe they wouldn't use it b'shefa. They wouldn't use it properly b'shefa. And the heter, the Rajba, and the Rivash is closed. But he says that will only apply to a kli ben yomo. So if it's a kli ena ben yomo, then you could be mekel. So Rabosai, here you have, I'm giving you, it's not me, I'm giving the Mechaber, starting with the Mechaber, we're giving you a big heter to put in your pocket. And the heter goes as follows, that if someone comes to you with a shayla on a big utensil that's hard to kasher, and the iser fell, is a small amount of iser fell onto the kli, and it's no longer a ben yomo pot, and there will be some type of difficulty kashering, any type of difficulty, if you know and you're assured that they will always use that kli b'shefa and pour over that area b'shefa, so then in such a case, the halacha is that one could be mekel. Even if, God forbid, they didn't pour over b'shefa, if it was no same time lefkan, it wouldn't aser anyhow. So just by waiting 24 hours, you would have a heter, even according to the Chachmas Adam. So this is definitely, the site becomes the answer to a trivia question. When would you have iser come onto a pot? And according to all the poskim, you'd be able to use it after 24 hours. That's this case. Yeshua.
Is this official or just regular usage?
It would be, we're talking about using a hot. Using something hot.
And saying the explanation as to why this is different than aim of online service, because...
Very good. So the Chachmas Adam is vague. This segues very nicely to the next thing I wanted to show you, is that this falls into the category of where your kavana was not to be mevatel. Your kavana here was not to be mevatel. Your kavana is to use the pot. It happens to be that tangentially, this pot is being used. It happens to have iser, which happens to be mevutal when you're using it. But when you're pouring out the food, you're pouring out the food because you want to pour out the food. So the fact that there's iser along the way, that's not going to be a problem. So your kavana was not to be mevatel the food in that manner. Now this applies itself in a very similar type of halacha in Hilchos Tola'im, which is going to take us all the way to Simin Kuf. Let's take a look and see one parallel in Hilchos Tola'im, which is very, very important. And this is going to come up a lot in the halachos of bugs and fruits and so on. By the way, I take this as a simon from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're doing things okay, that's worked out beautifully. That the tradition is to teach the halachos of insects right before Tu Bishvat, because of the fruits, and the Siyata Deshmaya, we're a week before Tu Bishvat, right? Basically a week, and we're getting into those halachos. So if you take a look in Shulchan Aruch, where is Hilchos Tola'im? The answer is Simin Pei Dalet. So some of you might have it in your Shulchan Aruch. For those of you who don't, I have it in the booklet. You have a similar halach in Hilchos Tola'im in Pei Dalet Yud Gimel. It would be the corollary to Sadi Tes Zayin. And that is the following. Nothing to do with pots, but here we have honey. Honey that has insects that are inside. Now the way they made honey is they would heat up the honey beforehand. Now what happens if you have honey with insects? And by heating up the honey, so then what you did was you would heat up the honey, and you'd be able to pour out the honey through a sifter, and it would also cause the nimalim to disintegrate. It would also cause them to disintegrate. So you're heating up the honey, and you're trying to be mevatel the iser that's inside. The iser is inside. They're full bugs, but you're heating them up. You're heating up the honey, and it's going to cause it to disintegrate. So the Mechaber says it's mutter. Dvash enaflu bo nimalim, yichamenu achi nitach v'yisanu. You're allowed to heat it up until it's going. The stuff is going to go out. Says the Taz, why is that mutter? Ve'ein ka mevatel sechatchila, she'ein kavanaso l'saken advash. You would do it either way. You would heat up the honey whether there were bugs inside or not. So even though it happens to be that you're being mevatel the iser, nevertheless, this is right after Moshe's tshuva, towards the beginning. Nevertheless, the halacha is that it's going to be mutter. So this is another example of where ostensibly you're being mevatel the iser lechatchila, but since your motivation is also another cheshbon, you're preparing the food, then the halacha is that it's going to be mutter. We're going to discuss shortly what happens if you grind vegetables, and when you're grinding the vegetables, then the insects are going to be smashed into small pieces. Now we know that the iser of the insects is so problematic because it's a beria and it's not batel. But if you grind them and you pulverize, I know it doesn't sound very appetizing, if you pulverize them, in such a case, then there will be batel. But what about ein mevatel iser lechatchila? Ah! Just like we learned in Simin Sadi Tes Zayin, that if your intention was not to be mevatel, it's going to be mutter, like the Rashi Rivash taught. And we learned in Pei Dalet Yud Gimel, that when you're heating up the devash, that's the same yisod. Said, and the Taz says, it's not a problem of ein mevatel iser lechatchila. He says over there in Sivkot and Yud Ches, so too, you might have a heter when you have a shaila of bugs in vegetables, that if you grind them up, then it's going to remove that problem. problem. Before we get to that application, let us apply it to something else. The Pischei Tshuvas, by the way, I saw the Pischei Tshuvas on your, you guys made a ha'ara a week from today about the Pischei Tshuvas, about the case of the wine and the Shvias. So Rabbi Tan, he was moda to you, and he said, he defended himself, but he said, he was masculine, he should rewrite it slightly differently. So I think he's planning the next edition. He was very happy with our Osafas. Yasher Koach. So on page Ayin Reish Veiz, so there the Pischei Tshuvas, discusses what happens if you add food coloring. You add food coloring, but the food coloring has Isser inside. By the way, this is pretty common, that the food colorings used to be extracts from insects. So you add food coloring into the thing, but there's shishim keneged the Isser. Would that be Eim Avatlanis L'chatchila? So he suggests that according to the way the Pischei Tshuva understands in Sadi Dalid Yud Gimel, the Pischei Tshuva over there, where the Pischei Tshuva quotes a Noda B'Yehuda that's more machmir. The Noda B'Yehuda has a very, very limited application of Sadi Dalid Yud Gimel. The way most understand Sadi Dalid Yud Gimel and the Taz, that just like we saw, that when your intention is not to be mevatel l'isser, it's going to be mutter, so too, if your intention is not to be mevatel l'isser, but rather your intention is to add coloring, that would also be mutter. Wow, that's an interesting extension of that halacha. He quotes this from the Nachlas Tzvi, who is, by the way, also the Pischei Tshuva, and...
Both as far as since you're not doing...
When you're adding the coloring, what you're doing is you want to add the color, you're doing it for the coloring. The fact that it happens to be that you're being mevatel yisur, that's right. It's actually a leap, because you could have said in the other cases you weren't throwing the yisur in. In the other cases you were pouring over the yisur. In the other cases you were heating up the honey. But he says that there are some who would be mako. I just want to use that as an example. To show you where he quotes the contemporary sefer, and I think he also lives in Beit Shemesh. He quotes the Madani Asher, who's Machmir on that. But just to see how far the heter goes, that as long as if your intention was not to be mevatel and it becomes batel, then in such a case it's mutter. Again, I want to repeat: you could be mechalek. That in this case you're throwing the iser in. When you're throwing the iser in, then that might be worse. In contrast, like it'd be more of a psikresha. In contrast to when you're pouring over the yisur, or when you're heating up the honey, which then happens to be hurting the other things, the hurting the yisur, then maybe that is going to be mutter. One more application of just a second, Rabbi Yamin. One more application of this, I want to show you in regards to grinding up vegetables, and we're going to get back to this topic. Rav Pfeiffer does an amazing job in the halachos of Tolaim and Eim Avatlanis L'chatchila, and he begins to give us some of the parameters of Hilchos Tolaim and Eim Avatlanis L'chatchila in his sefer on Hilchos Taruvas on pages Sadi Gimel, Sadi Dalid, and Sadi Hey. So I'm going to rip through them. There are about 10 Si'ifim Ktanim. I have mercy on you. Last time I did it with the guys, I ripped through 20 Sinfim, so I've cut it down. But it reads very, very straightforward, in a very straightforward way. He does a fantastic job of developing the svaras, even of the later Achronim. So he writes as follows, Simen Ches Perek Gimel, page Sadi Gimel, Perisha Huchziku Shiesh Behem Toloim, if you have fruits, that there is a chazaka that has insects, also Lechol Behem, then Allah is Yinala, eat them, achieve the Kumei Toloim. Until you check them. But if you can't check them, then you just can't eat them. Base. If the vegetables were ground, and any barrier that's within the vegetables was then broken into a pulverized bug, so then you can rely on the fact that it's shishim. However, that's only if it was done b'shogeg. But what happens if you didn't b'meizid? What did we learn? You can't be mevatel iser lechatchila oskimol. V'kol zeh kishen etchnu al nisrasku aperes b'shogeg. Al tachnu risku aperes b'kavon etchila. Then you're going to have to be machmir. Din perosel k'din ochlem shibitlam iser b'meizid. So you really can't use this eitzah very practically in many instances when you know that the fruit has a shayla, the vegetable has a shayla bugs, and so you'll say, ah, I'll pulverize it. Because that's a, what's that problem? There the problem is, v'ei mevatlin is l'chatchila. So that's step one. However, he says, skip the vav. Amnam beperis misug zeh in i'ev shelo lebotkam. If he can't check them, or it's a tircha gedola, then the halacha is you're allowed to grind them up. Why? Because if the derech is to grind it, so then in such a case, that's not called mevatlin iser lechatchila. That's what he says in hey. Those that the normal thing is to grind it up, you put together hay and zayin. Those that's normal to grind, then it's going to be mutter. What's that based on? Peidalid yugimel. Then when it comes to the dvash, we said, you knew that there are bugs in there. And you knew whether you heated it up, that you were going to be mimvatel eselchatchila. But since it's normal to eat up the dvash, it's going to be mutter as well. So when it comes to peros that are difficult to check, and it's normal to do it, so then in such a case, then it's going to be mutter. He gives you all the Mar Mekomos in the Mekoros in 6 and 7, and he does a fantastic job, Refoifer, in applying what we learned today. So it all started with the Tshuvas Araj, the Torah Sabaisa, the Rajba, and the Tshuvas Arivash, where we saw that there is an exception to the rule of Ei Mevatel Nisle Chatchila when you're not intending to be Mevatel the Isser. In other words, you're an Eina Meskavein, if you will. You weren't intending, you just want to pour the Isser out. You know that you're going to be Mevatel, but nevertheless, that's not your primary thing. We don't evoke the rule of Psikresha, if you will. We say that's going to be Mutter. We saw that in Pei Dalet Yud Gimel. We saw that the Taz explains that it seems to be Mutter in all instances. That's not where you're motivated by. And we saw the application in regards to the fruits that we saw that the halacha would apply in that instance, that you'd be allowed to grind it if it's normal for you to grind. And we saw that halacha lemaisa, when it comes to the Rajba himself, that we don't paskin like him as in when it comes to a kli ben yomo. But the yisod of the Rajba was clearly used in Shulchan Aruch and other instances. And we saw also that the Pischei Tshuvas even tried to extend that to food coloring. We were mesupik whether you could extend that to food coloring. But when it comes to grinding the fruits, we could go with Refoifer's Heter. And this becomes a very pragmatic use of these halachos in regards to Tolaim, which with the Siyata Deshmaya we're about to start now. Yes? The answer is that it has to be something that you would normally do with it. So for example, if we're talking about peppers, okay, so people don't generally grind peppers, right? But when it comes to carrots, that people do. So
peanut
so
you,
what's that?
This is a whole discussion with peanut butter.
It is? Inform me.
Apparently.
Peanut butter has bugs, wow.
Yeah, lots of bugs.
Oh wow, okay. And keep that in mind next time I eat, have my peanut butter sandwich.
Peanut butter
has bugs and they rely on this.
That's what I heard.
Okay.
It was a while ago.
Okay.
Strawberries would be a thing. Jelly, I'm sure, also has discussions. Or I'm sure
wow, a jelly would come up. One more. Rav Miller found another corollary, but it's not the same thing. But he found one more corollary in terms of Allah Lamaisa at the end of Simon Sadi test. About a case of where you have the majority of heter and a minority of isur, similar to the Rajba but different. That Rav Shechter Shlita was asked in Tavshin Nun Ches, and so this appears in the Daf Hakashrus. It was a very touching moment for me because I went to Rav Miller and I asked him when I heard him say the shiur. So I asked him if he has a copy of it so I could photocopy and give the boys. So he said, I don't need him anymore. So he gave me all of his daf hakashrus at that time. So Rav Schechter was asked the following shaila in Tavshin Nun Ches, and that's what we have in the daf hakashrus. And that is, there was a factory that had a run of macholos asuras. Everything was done cold, so there's no problem of the blios. But they would clean the machines. But the mashkichim saw that they basically cleaned the machines, but it wasn't perfectly clean. There was a tiny bit of macholos asuras that was left. So they turned to Rav Schechter and said, is there any heter over here? There's a tiny bit. It's not 160. It's one thousandth. Is there anything that we could do? It's not possible for us to do any more cleaning. So Rav Miller pointed out that the Rajba, we don't rely on. But Rav Schechter had another heter. Rav Schechter had another heter based on the Mishnah and Trumas. The Mishnah and Trumas tells us that if you have a kli that has shemen shel truma, and you pour out all of the shemen shel truma, so Mishnah Trumas and Perek Yudal says that if there's a tiny bit, you know how you have leftovers in a kli, it's hard to get rid of them. You know, you have the parallel in Hilchos Shabbos when you have cold water, your tea is done, and there's these tiny droplets. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where Rav Moshe discusses whether you're now allowed to pour hot water onto those tiny droplets. So similarly, you have the Shem Shaila way before Rav Moshe Shaila and Bishul. The Mishnah Trumas discusses you had Shem and Shel Truma that was inside of these utensils, and you poured all of it out, but there's a tiny bit, little drops that are sitting on the bottom. So do you have to be makbid to make sure to go all the way in to make sure that every drop is out? So the Mishnah Trumas says Beferish not that way, that a Yisrael will be able to add chulin inside, and it wouldn't be considered as if you're being mevatel Truma. The Melech Shlomo claims, and it's not called a mevatlin slechatchil. That's the connection to our sugi here. It's not called a mevatlin slechatchil if you're going to add chulin inside. The Melech Shlomo claims that this is the Yerushalmi says that this is a halach in regards to trumas, but Rav Schechter points out that's mefurish in Yaradeh and Kuf Lameches that it applies also to Stam Yena. In other words, you part out all of the guy's wine, and there are tiny droplets inside that are difficult to get out, then there's no problem of Ein Mevatlin Isser Lechatchila. And then Rav Schechter quotes that Rebelski said that Melech Shlomo was based on Yerushalmi, but the Yerushalmi doesn't exist. So Rebelski said it probably was that Melech Shlomo knew most of Yerushalmi Baal Peh, and he knew a lot of other things, and he didn't have the Yerushalmi with him, and he remembered that he had seen it somewhere, and he assumed that he had seen it in the Yerushalmi, but the Yerushalmi doesn't exist. And therefore, Rebelski says we don't have to be choshesh for that Melech Shlomo, and therefore Rav Schechter says that the factory will be okay, and it wouldn't be a problem of Eimavatlan Esachatchila. So the way Rav Miller presented it is we do have the Rajba on the books that's rejected, that we don't hold to the Rajba, but if we're talking about tiny bits of Isser, so then in such a case, that's not even called Eim Avatlin Isser Chachila. That's beyond Eim Avatlin Isser Chachila. Tam Vinishlam Simin Sadi Tes, and B'siyata Dishmaya, we're ready to begin the Halachas of Beria after Rabbi Yaman's question.
What we said about the Pischei Tshuvos,
yes,
with the food coloring.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, he was saying, if you don't hold like the Pischei Tshuva, or if you do hold it?
You do hold the Pischei Tshuva.
Doesn't the Pischei Tshuva, isn't the Nodav Yehuda a Chumra?
Yes. No, I was saying the first day. The Pischei Tshuva himself, Pischei Tshuva of Binyamin, is also the Nachlas Tzvi. And he sends you to a Sefer Nachlas Tzvi where he strongly disagrees with the Nodav Yehuda. Okay. B'siyata d'shmaya. If we take a look at, this is one of those cases that are easy to remember. You have the Gemara and Daf Kuf and Simen Kuf. If you look in the Gemara on Daf Kuf tells us the idea of a beria not being batel. Now the halacha of a beria not being batel is discussed in the context of chulin, as we did in the morning, that a gid anasha would not be batel because it's considered a burial. And therefore, the Torah writes in Simin Kuf Sivkat and Aleph, Kol davar shu beria kigoy nimala o oftame u gilanasha ve imen achayu ki yotze bezesh shen yicholek ein shmo alav ein abata la olam. So even though we have regular rules of shishim, we are now beginning in Shulchan Aruch the exceptions. What we're going to be learning for the next month are now the exceptions of Hilchos Taruas, the exceptions where we don't say bittel. So the first thing that we have, Simen Kuf, is talking about the halachos of beria. A beria is not going to be bittel. You are familiar that the concept of beria comes from Hilchos Macholos Asuras in another world. And that is the Macholos Asuras of the Isra of Shratzim. That even though Shratzim are normally smaller than a Kezayis, and therefore one would think that only Bichayev Malkus, if one eats a sheretz that's the size of a kezayis, or many shratzim that equal to a kezayis, the halacha is not that way. The Gemara in Makos on Daf Chaf Aleph tells us that a beria is going to be chayiv Malkus. The Gemara deduces from that on Daf Tzadi Vav and Daf Kuf that we are going to say the same in regards to Gid HaNasha in regards to its Malkus, as well as, that's what the Gemara says in Tzadi Vav, that Gid HaNasha doesn't need to have the shear, as well as that if you have a Gid HaNasha that's mixed up in other things, it's not going to be bottled because it's called beria. In other words, just like we see that the beria is chashuv, that you're going to be chayiv Malkus on it, so too the beria is chashuv, that it's not going to become Batal. There is an interesting chakira which has profound nafkaminas that we actually touched on in our chabura, but we didn't flesh it out at all. I regret that a little bit because it would have been a little bit of exciting because we worked it out in the Rishonim, but we didn't work it out in the poskim. Now we're going to work it out in the poskim. And that is, we saw that there are really two ways, we alluded to, that there are two ways how you can understand this halacha. And this is spelled out mufurish by the Prima Gadim in his Sefer Rosh Yosef on Daf Tzadi Vav, and is summarized in your photocopies by the Badei HaShulchan in his Akdama to this Simen. And the Badei HaShulchan has the following interesting chakira. He says, what is the pshat that a beria is not batel? Do we say, the pshat it appears right after a foifer, the first word on biurim. He says, Yesh lahazbir bazeh betray anpin. The first word is bazeh. You could explain this halacha that beria is not batel in two ways. Is it the pshat that a beria, because it gets malkos, we see that it's chashuv? In other words, the malkos is what shows us that it's chashuv. The fact that it gets malkos shows us that it's chashuv. Or, no, the malkos itself is a simen that a beria is chashuv. Is the Malkus itself what shows us it's Chashuv? Or is it that the reason why you get Malkus is because of Beria's Chashuv? Sounds very similar. Lamai Nafkamina, a very simple Nafkamina. The Nafkamina is Isurei Durabanan. Are Isurei Durabanan subject to the rules of Beria? On the one hand, if you say the halacha is that Beria is not batel because it gets Malkus, and the Malkus is what tells you that it's not batel, so then it would apply to only Yisurei D'Oraisa. But when it comes to Yisurei D'Rabbanan, then it wouldn't apply. However, if you say the other way, which I would have thought is the Pashtus, and that is that the fact that you get Malkus is a simen that a Beria is Chashuv, so then in such a case, even Yisurei D'Rabbanan, there would be the din of beria. Now, it's not mefurish in Shas or even in the poskim how one deals with Isurei D'Rabbanan. It's just simply vague what the halacha would be when it comes to Isurei D'Rabbanan. We have the Taz in our opening Sif Katan that points out that this whole halacha is a Din D'Rabbanan. Let's take a look at the Taz, opening our simen, Sifkat and Aleph. Beria, dahainu, he says, Chashivas de beria shalotia betelo, hu midrabanan. The kiva mishaminatora, yesh chashivas de lokin, al achilas, afil pachos mikizayis, da stomach siv, etzel minim tmeim, lo sol chalosam, afil em tanim, al kain, ichmir rabanan betaruva shalahem. So the Taz, first of all, clarifies a different issue. Taz says, this is not a din d'oraisa, this is a din d'rabbanan. And the Taz gives us a nafkamina. For nafkamina, he in suffek, he have a berio lo, have a sveka d'rabbanu batel. So if you have a suffek, whether this qualifies as a berio, so then in such a case, one could be makel. And he says the same would apply with other sveikas. So clearly this is a din d'rabbanan. Our shaila is whether this din d'rabbanan only applies to Yisurei D'oraisa, that Midrabbanan, you have to be Machmir, that's not Batel, or does it apply even by Yisurei D'Rabbanan? If the D'oraisa is a fundamental Svara, that a Beria is Chashuv, so then in such a case, it'll apply both to Yisurei D'Rabbanan as well as Yisurei D'oraisa. But if we're going to say that's the Malkus that creates that Chashivus, so then it's those that we see that a Beria has Chashivus min HaTorah, because you get Malkus, but maybe by Yisurei D'Rabbanan, that is not going to apply. And of course, the Taz says that if you have a suffix beria, then the halacha is that you could be makel on a suffix beria, because the din of beria is only a din derabbanan. The Yad Yehuda points out that even though there's no mention in Shas and Poskim that applies to D'Rabbanan at first glance, he found a Beferish. He did. It is a Beferish Gemara, if you foul the bouncing ball. And he points out that we have in Hilchos, again, going back to Hilchos Tola'im, he points out that in Hilchos Tola'im, we have the case of Beitzas Afroach, that the Gemara on Samach Dalad Amabez, excuse me, I said Tolaim, I meant to say Hilchos Beitzim, not Hilchos Tolaim. Hilchos Beitzim, the Gemara in Samach Dalet Amid Beis tells us that even though a Beitza of a Ov Tame is Asur Min HaTorah, a Froach itself, if the Froach begins to grow in the egg, basically we have this today when it comes to blood spots. So if you have a blood spot inside, by the way, we probably don't have very much today, right? Because most eggs are not fertilized. So blood spots themselves are just a gzera atu, but they're not really, it will never grow. The egg that you have, that you ate for breakfast, will never have hatched into a chicken, because they're not fertilized eggs. But once upon a time, we had fertilized eggs. So what happens if there began to grow a chick inside of the egg? So then in such an instance, the halacha is, that's asur mid rabbanan. It's not asur min HaTorah. Only what's asur min HaTorah is a beitzas of tamei. And it's mefurish, if you take a look, in Pei Vav Sif Ches, some of you might have it in your Basar B'Chalav edition. If you take a look at Pei Vav Ches, so there the halacha is that it's Aser Alt Beria. That we say that Beitzas Afroach is considered a Beria. So there it's Mefurish, like one side of the Chakira. So therefore the Yad Yehuda concludes that even though there isn't any other Makar, but that's what comes out, Beitzas Afroach, and therefore the Din of Beria would apply even by Yisurei D'Rabbanan as well as Yisurei D'Oraisa. Correct. So the Beferish Gemara and the Samach Dalet on the base. That is all thanks to the Yad Yehuda who did all that legwork for us. Okay. So that's how we paskin. Tov. Now, Rabosai, we have to define. Well, up until now, we've been talking about whether it's D'Oraisa or D'Rabbanan. We had an interesting chakira, and so on. Now we need to define what a beria is. So in terms of defining beria, for those of you in the morning, this is going to be a little bit of a repeat, but a chazara is always a good thing. The Rishonim are all bothered by a basic question. The Beis Yosef summarizes the Rishonim beautifully. And we're going to do, for the next 5 minutes, we're going to do the Beis Yosef inside, and then see how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, and then give all of the reasons why poskim say you could be makel on insects today. And there's the Sefer Ezer L'Shulchan counts 10 reasons of why you could be Meikel, but Halacha L'Maisa, we don't follow any of those 10 reasons. So we're going to go through 5 or 6 of them, B'siyata D'Shma, we'll see how much we get in before 4:30, but before we do that, let's just first make sure we have a very, very clear definition of Beria, and understand how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll be ready to jump off to the Shailos U'Tshuvos. So the fundamental question that the Rishonim deal with in regards to beria, that we learned that beria is not batel, is how do you define a beria? So if you take a look in the opening words of the Beis Yosef, he quotes a rush. The opinion of the Rush is also a Tosas. You can see it in Tosas on Sadi Vavam and Aleph as well. Two lines in, he quotes the Russian Simon Lamagillam. He says, Vahadigir, everybody have it? Two lines into Simon Kuf. Vahadigir Mikri Beria, Vichain Evra Menachai Vidag Tame Vav Tame. So we see La Halacha that a Gid Anasha is called a Beria, Evra Menachai is called a Beria, and Dag Tame is called a Beria and Of Tame. Avalo Of Tahar Mace. But if we're talking about an Of Tahar that's dead, then we say that the Shear is a Kazayas. So even though when it comes to Of Tame, there the shear is, however large the bird was, oftar is a kezayis. So the question is why? So what's the difference between the two? So he says as follows. Pirish Rashi, de nevela lo mekarya berya, shelo haisa nevela kishenotzra. It wasn't the nevela when it was created. Here the Rush introduces the criterion that it has to be tchilas briyaso beisr. If it's tchila briya, wasn't aser. Like an oaf tahar doesn't start off aser. Oaf tame does. And then he says, aval gid oaf tame ve'evri minachai chalisur mishosha notzro. So that is criteria that the Rush mentions. But the Rush immediately asks himself, Vikasha, if you're going to say that has to start out that way, but wait a second. When it comes to Chelev, and he quotes other examples, they start off the Isser, but you don't say that's a Beria. And then he introduces the Yisod that the Bali Tosas and the Rush really like. He continues and he says the Beis Yosef, Yesh Lomar, the kol davar she'im yicholek, ein shmo alav nikya Beria. To of tame shalim nikre of ukeshe ein shalim ein karnosa of elachatichas of tame, says the Rush and the Bali Tosos. The definition of beria is that it retains a particular uniqueness, or not retains, it has a particular uniqueness when it's whole. If its name is changed when it's no longer whole, then that's called a beria. In contrast to something that retains its identity, whether it's whole and whether it's a half, that will not be a barrier. And therefore, the Rush, skipping a line, continues and he says, Avo nevela, afilu chatucha kruya nevela. Nevela is called nevela, whether it's a whole animal or it's a half an animal. So therefore, one of the definitions to be called a barrier is that it has to have unique identity when it's whole, and it loses its identity when it's cut into pieces. That name changes. So nevela stays the same. Of tame is not called an of tame when it's cut into a piece. It's already called a chatichas of. It's called a different thing. That's the approach of the Bale Tosis. Yes, Jay?
Was that to mean that he required both those?
What he said, he seemed to say two different things. Number one is it started off the Isser. Right. So that's a very interesting question. We had opinions about that when we were learning in the morning, and right now we'll leave that's a fair question. Yeah.
Is there an example of something which is a pure solid that would keep its name when split up? It just sounds like it's a fancier way to say something that's solid or not solid. Like liquids are something that pieces of liquid. Right. Any solid, you're gonna have a piece of a solid.
No, he said of tame is only called of tame.
Right, it changes its name. It's a solid.
When it's cut into half.
Right.
But nevela doesn't. Nevela, when it's solid, stays. Is nevela when it's whole, and it's nevela when it's...
Whereas, but otame, you call it a chatichas otame.
That's right, that's the basic.
Chatichas nevela, it's not like that.
Right, no. We don't... Of tame, the of, is called an of when it's in its whole. And afterwards, it's just called a chaticha. In contrast to nevela. Nevela is, and that's true. When it happens to be, it might be a difference between a bird and a cow. But it happens to be, when it comes to a bird, you would call it the chaticha, the chicken leg. In contrast to the meat, you call it meat, whether it's a piece of meat or it's the whole meat. Or it's the whole thing. So it happens to be that nevela is different. Could be because the nevela starts off much bigger, however it might be, but that's the chiluk between the two. The Ran has a totally different Hagdara. The Ran brings in many different criteria. If you take a look, the Beis Yosef quotes the Ran. So, to summarize, the Rosh had said, the definition of beria means that it's cut and its name is changed. If that happens, that's called a beria. If it's something that retains its name, then it's going to not be considered a beria. But the Ran brings up many other variables. Varan Kosov, continuing in the Beis Yosef, Dulomikar Yebera, Elim Kain Isur Migufa. So he starts off by saying, number one, needs to be Tchilas Briyaso. V'tzarech od tnai, he then says, and then you have a second tnai, skipping down. Shiyehe Briyas Neshama. It also needs to be something that is a living organism, or part of a living organism, like a Giranasha. But for example, when it comes to a piece of grain, that's not a living organism, it can never be a beria. And finally, it has to stay whole. So the Ran has three definitions. It needs to be whole, it needs to be something that tchilas briyaso is bisura, and finally, it has to have a neshama. So we have many different criteria. If you take a look in Shulchan Aruch, now we're ready to begin Shulchan Aruch. What is a beria lahalacha? The answer is all of the above. Shulchan Aruch paskins every single one of them. Sif Aleph, beria, dahainu kigon nimala, insect, o of tame vigiranasha ve'im menachayu beitza, sheyesh bo afroach, uke yotze behem. And that we pointed out tangentially was beitza sheyesh bo afroach would be even beitzas kosher, and that's an isur d'rabbanan. Afilu be'elef lo betela. So, condition number one is it needs to come from a living organism, which precludes a kernel. That precludes a fuke of tar shenis nabel v'shar hanisko. It needs to be complete. Shem yichalek ein shmo alav lafuke chelev. So the third reason is the Balei Tosas, that it needs to have its identity, its unique identity when it's whole and not cut into half. And finally, it needs to still be shalom. So the Gra points out that the Mechaber mixed up all of the Rishonim. He threw all the Rishonim's criteria together. Even though each Rishon did a very capable job of answering all the questions on his own. But the Gra says the answer of why the Mechaber joined all things together, the Gra appears in Sifkatan Vav. He says, take a look at the Gra. Kamosh Kasa Ran Gimel Tnan Tzarchius Umitchilas Priyaso Vishay Shalem Avol Tosas Varosh Lo Tzrichu Chius. Tosas and the Rosh didn't require that it be something that came from a living organism. And they said something else, that you need that its name is unique when it's whole. The Shulchan Aruch passes l'kula that you need all these tanoim. What's the oimik of the Gra? The Gra is our issue number two of beria, of what defines beria, is going to be halacha lemaisa impacted by issue number one. Issue number one is that beria is a din d'rabban in itself. It's not a din d'oraisa. So therefore, if we're dealing with in Iser Durabanan, so we're going to be Mekel, like we saw in the Taz, that the Taz said, that if you have a suffix, if this is a beria, so then in such a case, he said, you could be Mekel. In such a case, you could be Mekel. So the Taz tells us that when it comes to beria, in defining beria will be Mekel, which means that you're going to need every single Tanai that any one of the Rishonim say, or any one of the classic Rishonim had said, to be called a beria, because itself is a din d'rabbanan, because beria is a chumra. Beria is telling you that it's not batel. Hence, issue number one and issue number two come together, and the Gra says, that's why, even though, in terms of the sugyas, there's no reason to need all four klalim, you could answer all the problems in the sugyas by either Tosis's definition or the Ran's definition, but the Gra says, we're going to go with all of them because it's a din d'rabbanan, and therefore we're going to go l'kula. The Taz concludes in Sifkatan Aleph, and he says, "Avali have a vadai beria. If it's a vadai beria, but you have a suffix of whether it's aser. Take a look at the last three lines of the Taz. Ali havi vade berya. Elo she iser safek. If you have a vadei berya, but you have a suffix of whether it's aser. So let's say you're not sure if this is what would be a good example. If this, we'll give a bad example.
We're not sure if it's kosher or non-kosher.
Well, but the problem is, oh, you mean halacha lemaisa orla?
Kosher or
not? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm a kabbal. Right. Okay. Good. And let's say you have a case of where you're not sure whether it's arla or not. You know for sure it's a berya. So then in such a case, you're going to have to go l'chumra. That's not the same thing as whether you have a suffix berya. What? Just a second. That was what I was saying. Okay. We were going to get involved in machlokas rishonim. So let's go the easiest. Eitan might be right.
Kosher.
But let's say there's kosher bugs and there's not kosher bugs. So let's say you're not sure whether they're... You're sure that there is a bug in here, but you're not sure if this bug is one of the kosher bugs or the non-kosher bugs, then you're going to have to go to Chumra. Because why? Because the Shaila is a Shaila of a Doraisa. So once you have a Shaila of a Doraisa, even though the Din of Beria is a Din de Rabbanan, you're going to have to go to Chumra. When are you going to be Mekel by Safek? Is when you have a Safek on whether it's a Beria. So the Din of Beria itself, you could go to Kula. So hence, in the Gra also said, if you have, you could say, there's not a Beria. Tosis won't call this a Beria. The Ran won't call this a Beria. Then you could pull out any good Rishon you want, and you could be Mekel. But if you have a Shaila, whether it's Aser, but you know it's a Beria, then you're going to have to go to Chumra. Because then you have a suffix on a derais and a beria that's not going to be bottle. That's Tasif Katan Aleph. Tasif Katan Aleph, Simin Kuf, Sif Katan Aleph. Right.
Yeah.
Right. But that might, again, that might get involved with different shitas.
Yeah,
that's why I didn't want. Okay. For the Mechav, right. Okay. Right. I'm a Kabbal, but I was a Kabbal that Eitan wasn't wrong according to all the Rishonim. Okay, Rabosai, my radar tells me, I had prepared more, but my radar tells me that this is a very good place to stop. In other words, this is the introduction to Beria. We did the introduction to Beria, and I like to do the Sugya actually a little out of order, to give all of the reasons why today's insects might not be Berias according to the Poskim, and then I give you the gave away the end of the story, that almost all those reasons are not accepted lahalacha, but we don't, I started doing Yoredeh for beginners. So Yoredeh for beginners, I'm not going to discuss all the reasons to be Mekel if it's not Lamaisa. But for us, you should be aware, and that will start off with Amir Tzah Shem on Thursday, and I hope, b'siyata d'shmaya, to do all of Hilchos Tolayim as much as we can. And that means we're going to be going through as much as we can all of Ravai's book and Rav Itam Henkin, Hashem Yikom Domim, his book. So discuss as much as we can in terms of the halachos of insects all the way to halacha l'maisa. L'maisa, about checking and so on becomes another world in itself, but we'll try to get the best we can on that also. Yes, Jay?